Well, good morning to all of you. Please take out your Bibles. We want to consider a lesson that I've had somewhat of a difficult time coming up with the sermon title. I finally settled on this one because it's actually the wording found in the Scriptures. And any time I struggle with that, I usually default back to just the way that God Himself has put it. Please turn over to Numbers chapter 1 is where I want to begin. In Numbers chapter 1, let's look at verse 52. The children of Israel shall pitch tents, everyone by his own camp, everyone by his own standard, according to their armies. Look at chapter 2 and verse 1 and 2. The Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, every one of the children of Israel shall camp by his own standard beside the emblems of his father's house. They shall camp some distance from the tabernacle of meeting. So basically, in these two verses, what I want us to begin to think about is the word standard is used in the New King James. Some of your versions may say ensign. Some versions may use the word banner. And so I want us to be thinking about this idea of a banner to the people is the lesson that we're going to talk about. But here are some scriptures that basically say, as God organized the children of Israel, here we have a massive amount of people that have come out into the wilderness. And so the way that God chose to organize them is that certain tribes would camp on the north and some on the east and some on the south and some on the west. And you know that it's 3, 3, 3, and 3 since there's 12 tribes. We have the Levites, of course, as well, considered part of the 12. Now, basically, they would have a standard, is the New King James word that is used here. You'll notice also that it said, according to the armies in verse 42, and then in verse chapter 2 and verse 2, beside the emblems of his father's house. And so you could picture, if you would, that someone in the family, maybe they knew that the tribes would camp on the east side. They knew that around the tabernacle as things began to progress. And then each family would then organize, and they would go to picture somebody holding up some type of emblem that family would know that this is where we're going to assemble and camp. And that's the picture that we have. This would be some type of banner, maybe a flag, that would signify where to go. It would be placed up high. You can imagine if there were 1.5 million, 3 million people out here, how difficult it might be to organize. And so you would look for your banner held up high or insignia or a standard or a flag that gives us kind of a modern day picture that it would become a focal point and you would be drawn to that and you would know where to go. Think about a stadium. When you go to a stadium, what are you looking? You're looking up high and you're looking for a gate number, right? You're walking around this massive building and you're doing this and you're going, well, there's gate 4. We're looking for gate 3. And so it's set up high where you can spot this and be drawn to the right place. Well, then you get inside. What do? You look and you see that here is section so-and-so. So you look up high over every one of those entrances and you say, okay, here's our section. And you keep walking until you find it. And then what do? Well, then you got to look up and you got to look at your row and you got to go on and find your location. That's kind of the picture. And so this banner or standard would be elevated. It would be easily identified. You would want it to be bright and clear. Okay? You would want it to be something that would stand out. And so what do advertisers do? Advertisers will use certain colors. They'll want their product to stick out. Bailey just bought a suitcase. She got a lime green. The reason she did that was she said, because when it comes off the belt, there's not going to be a lot of guessing. That's going to be my suitcase. She's not going to have to deal with probably a lot of lime green type colored suitcases, okay? So we do things to distinguish, and so that's the idea here. Now, go over to Isaiah chapter 18. Isaiah chapter 18. Let me put these passages up for you. Look at Isaiah chapter 18, and look at verse 3. All inhabitants of the world and dwellers on the earth, when he lifts up a banner on the mountains, you see it. When he blows a trumpet, you hear it. Again, this is just another passage that says, here's an ensign, here's a banner, and what do you do with that banner? It's lifted up high. Why do you set it up high? Why is it set up high on a mountain? and a trumpet is blown. So you can do something quickly, right? When he blows the trumpet, you hear it. And so the Lord said to me, I will take my rest and I will look from my dwelling place like the clear heat and sunshine, like a cloud of dew in the heat of the harvest, before the harvest when the bud is perfect. But anyway, this gives an idea of this idea. All inhabitants of the world, dwellers on the earth, when he lifts up a banner on the mountain, what do? You see it. When he blows a trumpet, you hear it. A call of an assembly. This has been used all throughout, I think, the history of man, really, this idea of a banner. Now, let's go over to our scripture reading. Let's go over to I want to go to the Isaiah passage first. Isaiah chapter 5. Here's another passage in Isaiah. And look, if you would, at verse 25 and 26. Therefore, the anger of the Lord is aroused against his people. He has stretched out his hand against them and stricken them, and the hills trembled. Their carcasses were as refuse in the midst of the streets. For all his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. He will lift up a banner to the nations from afar, and will whistle to them from the end of the earth. Surely they will come with speed swiftly. Okay, so this, in this context, is how does God end up punishing the Israelites and the those of the tribes of Judah, the north and the south? He uses the nations, right? That's the picture. God raises up a banner for the nations to see. So picture, here's this rally flag, and then what does he do? It says he whistles. And that's what you do. I can't whistle. Like, you know, it's like my dad used to do. He'd step out the door, and we'd be all over the 45 acres, and you'd hear dad go, shh. And we knew to do what? Come quickly. You need to come. It's time for supper. That's the picture. God whistles, sets up a banner, whistles, the nations come to do his will and punish the people. All right, that's the picture. Here again, the Bible is using this word standard. Now go to Numbers chapter 21 and our scripture reading, which was read for us. And in this passage, you recall that what was said was the people spoke evil spoke against God, spoke against Moses. And so what does God do? God sent fiery serpents among the people and started biting them. And they started dying. And the remedy was to do what? It was to make this brazen serpent and put it on a pole. And then what did you do? Well, that pole would then be lifted up high. And that's what this picture depicts here. So here's the serpent on a pole lifted high up. And then when you looked at that, and here we have in the picture that's been drawn, here's someone that's been bitten by a snake. Here's one that's died. But if they could look to that serpent, this banner, this insignia, this standard, the language that we're looking at here, then they would live. If you could look upon the serpent on the pole. Well, the word pole is another example of the word banner and standard. Put it on a pole. Put it on a standard. Put it on a banner. Put it on a... and again, it's the idea of this same language we've seen in Isaiah, the same language we saw earlier in the book of Numbers. This is from one of the dictionaries I have. It's commonly referred to Brown and something and BDB is what everybody just shortens it to. But in that it says, as lifting up, this is our Hebrew word for the word pole, lifting up a standard, a signal pole, an ensign, a banner, a sign, a sail, a rally point, all right? So some modern examples of what we're talking about is, this is a naval ship, and see all those flags? Those are ensigns. The word that the Navy uses, I believe, is flagstaff, okay? And so all of those banners have different meanings. I don't know all the different meanings. Well, let me ask you this. Who is this? Look at that picture. Can anybody guess who it is? And why would you know where? You may just recognize that, but what's telling you what company this is? Do you see it? It's Apple. That's their flag. Today we would say that's their logo. Right? We recognize their logo. They're flying their logo. They put it up high. So everybody, when they pull up, they go, oh, we're at Apple Corporation. Okay? So this is, you know, kind of the same idea. Some of you like to play that game. I know my kids have over the years where you go through and it shows you different logos. You have to try to guess and remember. Emma was doing it the other day, and I'm like, I don't remember. It looks familiar. I think it's this. It's pretty challenging. The company wants you to recognize their logo. So we put up banners. We got our banner out here for the gospel meeting. We have a sign that's up high to draw people's attention. So let's go over to Isaiah. And this, again, hopefully I haven't spent too much time on this, but I just want us to get this idea. And I like the way that BDB puts this, and that is that it is a rally point. A rally point, which is what we've seen. God raised the banner. He whistles and the nations came. They knew where to assemble, and they came quickly. And you think about how the trumpet is used to call assembly, to draw the people together in the military. It's been used for years. All right, so now if you look at Isaiah chapter 11, let's look at the first 12 verses. Isaiah chapter 11, let's look at these first 12 verses. There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. His delight is in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, nor decide by the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his loins, and faithfulness the belt of his waist. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the young goat, the calf and the young lion and the fatling together. And a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze. Their young ones shall lie down together. And the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play by the cobra's hole. And the weaned child shall put his hand into the viper's den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. For, he says, the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, and the waters cover the sea. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, who shall stand as a banner to the people. For the Gentiles shall seek him, and his resting place shall be glorious. It shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand against the second time, the recovery of the remnant of his people who are left from Assyria and Egypt, from Pathros and Cush, from Elam and Sinar, and from Hamath, the islands of the sea. He will set up a banner for the nations and will assemble together the outcasts, will assemble the outcasts of Israel and gather together the dispersed of Judah. So there's where I got my title, the banner to the people. That you will quickly recognize that is messianic. That is speaking of Jesus, the root of Jesse, the branch. In fact, in your version there, you know, you notice that those words are capitalized. And it's because those are referencing deity. They're referencing Jesus, the coming Messiah. Hold your place, but go to Jeremiah 23. Jeremiah chapter 23. And notice the same language, 23 and verse 5. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, I will raise up to David a branch of righteousness. A king shall reign and prosper and execute judgment and righteousness in the earth. Again, messianic prophecy. Keep holding your finger back in Isaiah. Go over to Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 3 and verse 8. Hear, O Joshua the high priest, you and your companions who sit before you, for they are a wondrous sign. And behold, I am bringing forth my servant the branch. Messianic, speaking of Christ is coming, the root of Jesse, the branch is coming. And so we come back to Isaiah chapter 12, and we see this language that is used, and it says that in verse 2, the Spirit of the Lord will rest upon him. And so we have that in verse 2. We see that the branch will have wisdom and understanding and knowledge and counsel and might. This knowledge of the fear of the Lord. Verse 4, he says, he will judge in righteousness. And then there's this picture of these animals that are normally prey and predator having peace and dwelling together in harmony. And that's all this messianic language and things that we understand. The gospel does that. But then you look at verse 10 and he says, in our passage, he says, the root of Jesse who shall stand as a banner to the people. Now hopefully what you're already starting to do in your mind after we've looked at all of these passages about a banner is that Jesus now is this banner that's raised up high that you will take and focus your attention upon. It'll call together the assembly. And so basically what you have in this prophecy and this teaching is God's going to bring back this remnant out of as they have been dispersed. And they will come back. The Messiah will come. And then we have Jesus, of course, fulfilling all of these prophecies and being wise and mighty and having knowledge of the fear of the Lord. So Jesus is elevated. He's clearly discernible. And to him, people are drawn. And notice verse 12, the language that is found here. He says, all nations, a root of Jesse shall stand as a banner to the people for all nations. Do you see that? Well, what's that talking about? Is the gospel for all, Jew and Gentile? Absolutely. Will all men be drawn to the banner? The banner to the people? Do you see where I'm going? Now, look at how that language then is used in a number of passages. Let's connect this to these other scriptures. Look at John chapter 3. John chapter 3. And look at verse 13. No one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven, that is, the Son of Man who is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. Do you see this language? This ensign, this pole, this fiery serpent on a pole? That if you look to that serpent, you would not die? And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Look at verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. We focus in on verse 16. But notice what he says. The Son is lifted up. He is a banner to the people. Do you begin to see this? He stands as a banner to the people. His death is what men look to for salvation. You cannot be saved unless Jesus be lifted up. His death is lifted high as God's means of saving one from his or her sins. He's the ensign. He's the standard. He's the banner to the people. Look at this in what the Apostle Peter, let's go to John 12, getting ahead of myself. John chapter 12, look at verse 31 through 33. John chapter 12, 31 to 33. Now is the judgment of this world, now is the world this world will be cast out. And I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. Isn't that what we're talking about? If I'm lifted up, I will draw all people to myself. This he said, signifying by what death he would die. So he's talking about his crucifixion and being lifted up. Do you see that? I'm talking about my death. And if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. So what is his death, as he's lifted up, supposed to do? It's supposed to draw us to him. And that is the amazing story of the love of God and the grace of God and the gift of Jesus Christ. It is what we call the story of Jesus. It's when we sing, "Tell me the story of Jesus." It's what we mean when we talk about and we think about the cross and how he is lifted up for my sins. And I'm drawn to that. It's the story. It's the gospel message. It's the message that saves people's soul from death. The gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, that he would be a banner to the people, that he would be raised up. And this is the language that the Apostle Peter now uses. Look at Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13 and verse 23. "For this man's seed, according to the promise of God, God raised up for Israel a Savior, Jesus." God raised up a Savior. Well, we can think about, well, he came to the earth and he was born. But think again about the language that's used. This root of Jesse, this branch that will come forth and be raised up as this banner, as this standard. Jesus said, just like that serpent, I have to be lifted up. God raised up for Israel a Savior, Jesus. Look at chapter 3, as the Apostle Peter also is preaching in this passage. Look at chapter 3 and verse 26. "To you first, God, having raised up his servant Jesus, sent him to bless you and turning away every one of you from your iniquities." God raised up his servant Jesus, left heaven, came to earth, died, suspended from the earth by that cross. He was God's servant. Look at verse 22. What I want you to see here is he's not talking about raised him up from the grave. Look at verse 22. "For Moses truly said to the fathers, 'The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from my brethren. Him you shall hear in all things, whatever he says to you.'" So here again, not that he is resurrected from the dead, but that God would bring forth this Savior, this servant, that would do his will. Go back to those other thoughts, that we'll have understanding, we'll have might, we'll have knowledge of the fear of God. This is who Jesus is. And that God would raise him up. He would be the prophet. He would be the one that you would listen to. So the teaching that I want us to grasp this morning is how God raised up, lifted up Jesus as a standard, as an ensign, as a banner for the people to be drawn to rally at the banner, to be saved. Well, I want to switch my thoughts for just a minute. Go over to Psalm 20 and verse 5. So Jesus is lifted up. Lifted up was he to die. Heaven's gate to open wide. Now in heaven exalted high. Hallelujah. What a Savior. So when you turn over to Psalm 20 and we look at verse 5. "We will rejoice in your salvation, and in the name of our God we will set up our banners. May the Lord fulfill all your petitions." When people go to war, they have a standard. They have banners. They have flags. An ensign that they rally around and by which they fight. You just think about this. The Confederate Army, the Union, the Texas flag. You think they were flying a flag at the Alamo? Republic of Texas. Banners to rally around. This is a picture we all recognize. What are they doing? They're raising the American flag. Everybody rallied around that flag and defeated in World War II the German and Japanese aggression. For I have determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. We sing a number of songs that portray us as Christians marching together in the army of the Lord. What do? We take the gospel to the lost. We hold up Jesus and Him crucified to save the sinner. We say, look to Jesus. Turn and look at Him. He's been suspended from heaven and earth, between heaven and earth on the cross. The blood that was shed, what we remembered around the table. His body and His blood. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. Jesus died. God raised up Jesus. God then lifted Him up on the cross as the sacrifice. And we carry the banner. We carry the banner of truth. We carry the banner of Jesus Christ, the banner of the people. Look at Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19. And look at this picture. In verse 11. Now I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and He who sat on him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness He judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on His head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except Himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and His name is called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed Him on white horses. Now out of His mouth goes a sharp sword. We've seen this language, haven't we? That with it He should strike the nations, and He Himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He Himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and the wrath of the Almighty God. And He has on His robe and on His thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We follow the King. We look to our Savior. He officiates as our high priest, and we His priest in His priesthood. He takes away our sins. He leads us to glory. He is the victorious Savior whom we follow. Turn, if you would, let's sing number 133. 133, because this is the exact... I said I wanted to shift gears. So we're talking about what God did, and now what do as His people? We rally around the banner. In fact, there's an old song. It's not in our songbook. Rally round the banner, ready, steady.